This is Tom Warren, Professor of Christian Evidences at Harding Graduate School of Religion and minister of the Brownsville Road Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. For the past 2 days, we have been discussing the one baptism which Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. And we have pointed out already in our study that in order for one to be actually baptized with that baptism, rather than with some baptism invented by mere human beings, first of all, there must be the right element, water. You cannot obey Christ in the one baptism of the Great Commission without being baptized in water. Secondly, we pointed out, according to plain Bible teaching, in order for one to be baptized with the one baptism, he must recognize that baptism involves immersion. Baptism actually is immersion. There is simply no evidence at all that anyone in the New Testament was sprinkled or poured or had water poured or sprinkled on them in order to be baptized. The Bible plainly teaches that baptism is immersion. But now we come to the third point, and that is that in order for one to be baptized with the one baptism, he must be baptized for the right purpose. Baptism is not to be done in order for an infant to be dedicated to Christ. It isn't to be done to show that one has already been saved, and it is not to be done simply to enter a human denomination. The correct view of the purpose of baptism is that it is an act of obedience which stands between the penitent believer and his gaining the status of being a child of God or a saved person. Notice carefully now as we read in the Great Commission recorded in Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Here are the words of our blessed Lord himself, speaking to his apostles. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now note carefully, the main statement in this sentence is, he shall be saved. Now which he shall be saved? Just any and every he? Not at all. Jesus modified the subject of that sentence, he, with a restrictive clause, that believeth and is baptized. Now, friends, if this radio station were to make an offer, he that believeth and is baptized shall receive a new Cadillac, and you have but one chance, you have but one opportunity to do it, how many of you would take a chance on saying, well, now I believe, give me my Cadillac, and then later on I'll be baptized? I dare say that not a single one of you would. To give language its fair import, you have to recognize that Jesus is saying that the man who both believes and is baptized shall be saved. Not merely the man who believes is saved and then may later on be baptized. Actually, in the original Greek Testament, both believe and be baptized are what are called by Greek grammarians aorist participles. And this means the basic idea, so far as the time is concerned, is that whatever it is in the aorist participle cannot follow, cannot come in time after the action of the main verb. Now note plainly that the main verb in this passage is, shall be saved. Now since neither believing nor being baptized can come after the main verb, it means that neither believing nor being baptized can follow being saved. So it's clear that Jesus is saying, the one who having believed and having been baptized shall be saved. The right purpose of the one baptism is to be saved. Just as the Apostle Peter, to a group of believers in the Lord who cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Told them, not that you're already saved, but rather, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that repentance and baptism are unto the remission of sins. You cannot be saved without obeying the Lord and being baptized. Be with us next time as we continue this vital study.